We Talk Podcast presents
Bullet Club for life.
What it is? What it do? Welcome to the One Fall Podcast with your host, Joshua Adam, William Arbuthnot, and the one, the only, the ultimate baby face, Mr. Joel Johnson.
How's it going?
Joel, it has been about a week and a half. The last time I called you, I was damn near suicidal. But we're back. We're uppity. We're happy. And we're ready to talk about the world of professional wrestling that I think the NBA outdid the other night in as far as booking.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you on that.
Kevin Dunn kind of booked something as good as Kobe's ending last night.
I don't know how much Kevin Dunn books, but I know Kevin Dunn has control over stuff. Yes, I get what you're saying.
Thank God he had no control over that.
Oh, God.
Kobe, you get to put a unicorn horn on, or I guess that actually kind of works, so never mind.
There you go.
All right, so it has been a weird week in the week of professional wrestling. We have unfortunate amount of deaths. We have lawsuits. We have a weird UFC card. We had a great Monday Night Raw.
I missed.
Let's start with the unfortunate news. And again, the world of professional wrestling loses two of its members. One was a little older and maybe somewhat expected. And the other one was younger and somewhat expected, I guess.
Well, yeah, you could say that one was a little bit more. I think we kind of saw one coming. The other one kind of came out of left field.
Well, here's the weird thing with Balls Mahoney. Let's start with him. Because all respect to Blackjack, I think you and I, with just the modern times, are more familiar with Balls Mahoney.
Yeah.
I believe his partner, Axel Rotten, died 45 days ago.
He died very, very close together. He died on February 4th, 2016.
Yeah, and it's really unfortunate what happened with him. What did Balls pass away from?
Well, what I was hearing was Balls Mahoney was playing Jeopardy. And he was sitting in a chair, and he was answering questions while the Jeopardy game was going on. And then he just kind of lost consciousness. His wife called paramedics, and that was it. I'd heard that he'd taken a bad fall a couple days before this happened. They don't know if it's connected in any way, but he took a bad fall, and it just was very quickly was the end for a guy that I think the biggest thing we take from this is the lifestyle.
The ECW lifestyle. And what weapon was synonymous with Balls Mahoney?
That steel chair.
Him and Axel Rotten took a lot of hits to the head. And even listening to Court Bauer talk about him on Bauer and Pollock today, he would talk that Balls Mahoney used to dumpster dive even when he was in the WWE and find half-eating burgers and eat those burgers and stuff. So obviously not making the healthiest choices. And then everything with ECW with the blading and the barbed wire, and that was a big part of him and Axel Rotten's gimmick together, was chair shots to the head, barbed wire, blading, all that kind of stuff that we now see and just why?
Yeah, well, Axel Rotten died in a McDonald's bathroom.
Jeez.
Yeah, accidental heroin overdose.
Isn't that how Sean O'Hare died too? In a bathroom from an overdose?
Sean O'Hare. I think so.
It's another way too early. You look at that ECW roster now, Joel, and it's just sad. Would you be shocked if tomorrow, all due respect, if you heard the Sandman had passed away from something like this?
There's a lot of these guys that it's to the point where you're not too surprised anymore.
Tommy and RVD would shock me.
Yeah. There's certain guys that you can tell have lived a little bit better, but a Balls Mahoney, you just kind of saw him.
Even Sabu wouldn't shock me.
No. It's a shame, and it's also, I think it speaks to, not to be this guy, but it speaks to the growth that WWE has made over the last 10 years or so.
And I really liked him when he had his little run with the new ECW. I thought it was really fun.
Yeah, I think there's certain guys that you could see that were a good veteran hand to have there, and just like. But now you look at it and you see all those chair shots, and you're just like, ugh, no more, no more.
I remember for a bit there was a rumor they were going to tease him as one of the finalists for Vince's son, really? And I thought that was just kind of a funny idea. And, you know, he had a really interesting like kind of storyline. I remember he had with the Miz in ECW. That was fun. And, you know, he just seemed like a really nice guy on screen, and I've heard he was a really nice guy off screen. But you watch that documentary, Barbed Wire Memories or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, they just live the gimmick of ECW, and it's scary, you know, everything that company did. And now you see, like, you know, some of the Pit Bulls and Public Enemy and just guy after guy.
Yeah. And it definitely, like, I don't think we're going to see a lot of guys that are currently in WWE. We can't predict the future, but I'd like to think that there's a lot of guys within WWE that we're not going to sit there and see that are going to drop dead in their 40s because of the way, like, there's some, and this kind of works into this in a way. I was watching some kind of indie stuff, like they'd have some small little tidbits of stuff on Instagram of some of
these people. Like you show me like Cesaro and Pac and all that, what they used to do.
Yeah, and you just look at how crazy and how far some things go. And I was reading about a Japanese promotion that really like had what are they called, the tubes of glass.
Yeah, Dean Ambrose did that stuff in ZZW all the time.
Like, and you see shots of these, and people love it, and you're like, this makes me uncomfortable. I think pro wrestling, to me, is what we saw with Sami Zayn and Nakamura.
I would agree. It's crazy that, you know, you think when you were a kid, you watched the Attitude Era, and those hardcore matches were some of the funnest matches, right? But you're a kid, and you can't process what a steel chair to the head's going to do. You're just like, oh, that's so crazy. Because when you're a kid, too, I guess you still... you have that disbelief of reality.
Yeah,
you're like, ah, you know, like it's fake and stuff, and it's cool. It's like action. It's like a movie. And now we're seeing how these chair shots to the head and blading excessively and losing that much blood is really not good for you.
Yeah, and like even the headshots that Taker took in the Undertaker versus Shane McMahon at 32, it's still like you see that stuff now and you cringe because you're like, oh god,
I can't watch that Royal Rumble match versus with The Rock and Mick Foley anymore. I just can't watch it.
Oh yeah.
I can't watch it.
It's definitely now in hindsight you're like, oh god, why'd you do it?
Like, you watch the way Mick walks to the ring with him slouching and stuff, and it's just like, oh. And he was telling The Rock too, like, really throw it in there. And I remember even Foley at the end, though, got really mad because then he thought The Rock was taking liberties and going way too hard. And I think sometimes, too, when you go straight and bash in the head is good, but you watch that match and Balls and Axel taking these kind of hits, too. It's like to the side of the head. Those are the ones that hurt, I think, got the guys the most, because the ones at the front of the head, you can still put your hands up to a degree.
Yeah.
It's the ones at the side of the lobe of the brain.
Yeah. Like you see moments now from the Attitude Era, and you see that they've edited the chair shot out. You hear it, but you don't see it. And it's like, that's probably for the best, because it's uncomfortable to see.
It really is. You know, I it sucks when you show me Balls. It's one of those deaths, so it's like, I'm not shocked.
Yeah.
It sucks. And I think that you look at the ECW now, they still have the four core guys are still alive, though. And those four core guys to me are, well, five in a way. Taz, Sabu, Sandman, Tommy, RVD.
Yeah.
So those five guys are still there. But like I said, in the latter part, Sandman or Sabu, if you text me and be like, Joel, Josh, Sabu passed away or Sandman passed away, I'm like, I'm not surprised. Same with, I guess, Sonny, for example. You told me tomorrow that Sonny passed away, I'm like, not really that shocked.
Yeah. It's that lifestyle that used to be lived and now it's fading away. I think there's a lot more cleaner living for a lot of these guys. I think in a lot of ways these deaths have kind of helped serve as a small purpose of showing these people, this is what happens when you live this lifestyle. if you live clean and you live healthy, then you'll get to continue to move on.
Well, you listen to guys like Jericho and Big Show talk about what the locker room used to be for them, especially Big Show and WCW. They said the show would end, and Randy and Hogan and all those guys, they got beers and they were drinking in the back, and now they're not doing that in the back. They're playing PlayStation.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, they'd way rather have them doing that.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's at the end of the day, Blackjack Mulligan, Balls Mahoney, both suck. Blackjack was a little more towards the end of his...
He was... it still sucks to have him pass, and I feel for Bo and for Bray, but, you know, he was getting to the end of his time.
Yeah. It's a shame, but Blackjack Mulligan is a name you recognize right away. Mm-hmm. You know, I know exactly who you're thinking about, and you think of the mustache, the cowboy hat, and just from what I was reading, because we never really saw a lot about him, he was a tough, tough son of a bitch.
Mm-hmm. He's one of those kind of good old boys.
Yeah.
In a way, managed by Bobby Heenan as well.
Ooh, the Brain.
So, I mean, it's Blackjack's again. He's one of those guys you know, and you just know, legend. I've seen such a limited amount of stuff from him. And I'd love to see more from him, but I just know, we both know, you hear Blackjack Mulligan, you're like, tough son of a bitch.
Yeah, that's the first word that comes to mind. And it's a shame, and heartfelt condolences to both families. This cannot be an easy time for either of them.
No, it sucks, and it just, you know, it's adding to another chapter of that dead wrestler beach.
Yeah. There's a little bit, moving on, there was a little bit of news that I didn't get a chance to bring up with you when we did when we were doing our figure out what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah.
There's a certain guy that still wants to wrestle.
Brother?
No.
Oh. Who?
No, he does Yes Chance.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Vince and them, basically, it's a very short story. He wants out. Vince and Bree don't want him out.
So, I believe I called this. And everyone said I was crazy.
Yeah.
It's kind of that Michael Jordan syndrome in a way.
Yeah.
You look at two retirements I've seen recently. So when Jordan retired the second time, he still had basketball in him. And I look at Kobe, who recently retired yesterday, and Kobe was completely at peace with everything.
Yeah.
And you hear Kobe talk, and it's like, wow. Like, and I was going to actually bring this up with you. I'm like, wow, compared to Brian's speech and Kobe's done. He lived and breathed basketball the same way Brian did with wrestling. But Kobe has a complete peace, and he's ready to move on to the next chapter. You can tell that Brian was just like, no, I'm not done yet.
If he could have held on to those ring ropes, Vince would have to drag him out of it.
He so kind of talked himself. It seems like Brian was talking himself into the retirement.
Yeah, I definitely think that this is a situation where it's not the same as like an Austin retirement. Austin kind of knew he was done.
Mm-hmm.
I think they just need to freeze him for the 3 years.
They do. That's what I said. Like, you and I had brought this up because we had a conversation about this off the pod. If you're Vince, you're like, listen, if you want to not be with the WWE anymore, that is fine. We will release you, and you will be on a 3-year non-compete. If you go with any wrestling company, we will sue you.
Grappling, UFC, anything.
Yeah, anything. Anything physical combat sport. You go in the National Football League, you're fined.
Yeah, I think it needs to happen because there needs to be... Brian needs to obviously detox away from professional wrestling.
Yeah, like you even talked about Austin. Austin, you know, he says it in his podcast at the time, it took him a long time to get out of it.
Yep.
It took him a long time, I think, and you and I... Don't think Shawn Michaels has gotten out of it.
No.
Flair's not out of it. It's hard.
Yeah.
Edge, it took Edge a while. Edge said he's finally cleared of it, and I believe Edge.
Yeah. With Michaels, I heard the reason he looked so in shape was because he was getting ready for cardio, for being a referee, which apparently there's a lot of cardio, more cardio involved in being
a referee for what?
For the main event of Roman versus Hunter.
Oh.
He was kind of at standby for it.
Oh, okay.
But he still has that Ric Flair in his eyes.
Yeah, come on. We all saw that. I see a little bit of it in Foley, to be honest.
Well, if Foley could go out there and have one more match, he would.
Yeah.
But I think with Daniel Bryan, you freeze him, and you just let him sit for 3 years. He's going to be mad, but I think once he kind of has a family and that facet of his life kicks in, then I think he'll be kind of like, okay, this was for the best. Bree's not going to let him go.
No.
But my question to you, Josh, is if Brian suddenly becomes, say tonight Brian became a free agent. Just say he was let go of his contract, 90 days non-compete, and he could go anywhere in the world he wanted. Would you look down on promotions for signing
yes,
and bringing him in?
Yes, 100% yes.
So, because there's always those talks in New Japan, and there's always those
then
talks.
That's where I think he would go.
Yeah.
He'd go to Japan Arena of Honor. I don't think Evolve would go near him because Gabe wouldn't want to piss off Hunter.
Yeah. And I just think that it definitely would. Like, I'm not going to lie. If he wrestled again, I would watch.
I'm not going to lie either. I would 100% watch. It's weird because I would test every single second of it, but it's kind of like, well, if he's doing it, I guess so. It's wrestling's so weird, though, Joel. You know, it's like, you know, your guys like Kobe, Peyton Manning, and Charles Woodson retire this year. But you can't just be like Peyton Manning or Kobe can't come back in like 4 years when he's like 40, 45 or whatever and be like, yeah, I'm going to come back. Like you can do in wrestling, like Sting did when he's 56 years old. You just can't do that in other sports. That's the weird thing about wrestling.
Yeah.
That's why I was so unsure because Brian's, what, 33, 34 years old?
Yeah.
Like he's 6 years away from 40 still.
I think the contract, freeze that contract and let him sit there for quite a while and let him get it out of his system. Let him be with Brie and let him live a healthy life.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to bring this up because I saw it and I was like, this is something worth
it's a
on.
Never-ending cycle.
No, it's not.
He just needs to quit it. In fact, it's annoying me and making me like Brian a little bit less.
The biggest thing I think with Brian is it's like that. You got to look at it. It'd be like someone telling you you can't be a broadcaster anymore.
Yeah.
And you had a lot of money still on the table to be a broadcaster and be one of the top broadcasters in the world.
I still got the voice, man. But you got laryngitis. You can't talk anymore. Not laryngitis. You got throat cancer. Just elevate it.
And you just put on your Hogan mustache and you tell them you can do it.
Well, since you're talking about Brian, we didn't talk about this either. I was going to put this in the back end, but since it's all Bellas and everything, let's talk about the Total Divas update.
Hey.
The new season. So, few notes. Number one, WWE trademarked Total Bellas.
Well, I guess who's getting their own reality show?
It may be the same show because apparently they want to get away from the Diva name completely. And they don't want to call them Total Women.
Yeah, okay, I get it. Whatever.
And so we have new casts in the next season of Total Divas as well.
Oh, boy.
So Alicia Fox is out. Rosa Mendez, you're out. Thank God. And guess who's joining the cast, Joel?
Renee Young and Lana.
And Maryse.
Oh. Well, yeah, that's why
we get Rusev on Total Divas! Yes!
So, as long as everything still kind of goes the way I think it's going to go, so you're going to have Daniel Bryan, John Cena, and Rusev and Dean Ambrose all on Total Divas?
I don't know if Renee... I haven't heard Renee.
I've heard Renee.
Okay, well, then if it is Renee, makes sense. But also, Trinity is coming back as well.
That makes sense.
So, the good thing is, like, it's not, I actually liked Alicia Fox on it as a viewer of it. But whatever. I am the, like, Maryse, you're going to have The Miz on there, too, because Maryse is on there as well.
Oh, God.
So, you get The Miz and the Rusev stuff, Joel. I can't tell you how excited I am for Rusev on here.
That would be interesting because he seems like he's a comedy character.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I was like. As soon as I saw that Lana was on here, I'm like, because number one, you know they're doing the wedding on this now. That had to be an agreement. You have to do the wedding on here now.
They're going to pay for it, so I don't think they're going to complain about it.
Yeah, so the wedding will be on there to see Rusev in the tux and everything. I mean, that's an episode even you may have to watch.
Oh, God.
So, I'm excited for this new kid. Rosa Mendez was absolute waste of space.
Yeah.
I don't understand how she's employed by the company still.
She is, and they can't let her go for another whole year because she had a kid. So that would look very unfavorable on the company if they release someone.
They should have released her after the nonsense with the drugs and stuff.
Yeah, they should have, but they didn't, and now they're stuck another year. Like,
Rosa Mendez has never won a match. Ever.
Really?
Never has won a WWE match in her entire career.
That's almost as bad as Tyler Breeze losing 49 matches this year.
Wow.
Yeah. Not good.
So I mean, we have the season finale of Total Divas. It's been I'll admit, even though I love the show and I like the buggy, it's been a pretty bad season this year.
Yeah,
I think it's because it's been pretty Rosa heavy.
Well, she will be. She will no longer be on there. So next year, hopefully, pick up. Speaking of Total Divas or Total Bellas, whatever this show is going to be called, let's hit on one diva that we've had a little bit of conversation.
Maurice?
Paige.
Oh yeah, what the hell is going on?
My theory is there's two things that are probably at play right now. She's very young and she's still learning.
Mm-hmm.
And there is always that she will say what she wants, and recently she'd come out and said that WWE doesn't know what they're doing with her.
They don't.
And
but you don't
I'm
say
pretty
that.
Sure that probably upset a few people, so.
Well, in all fairness, the WWE doesn't know what they're doing with her. But, you know, Paige needs to stop sending out snaps of her partying and Instagram posts of her partying. Because, you know, you can do it, but there's other people in the company like a Nia Jax, a Mandy, recently a Summer Rae, who are on Snapchat publicly, but don't show that side of their lives.
Yeah, they're very image and very conscious about what they reveal. And, you know, Paige is a fantastic talent.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a shame, but the one thing that I always kind of try to keep in mind, she's what, 22?
22, yeah.
So, I'm not worried at all. They know what they have with Paige. They've already seen glimpses of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of letting grow up, mature.
I think you said the best. It's a humbling.
Yeah. It's that humbling phase. It's letting her, you know, learn a few lessons. And I'm pretty sure in a couple of years she's going to be a fantastic hand to have in the ring. And
it's also hard too, Joel, with the women's division. It really seems like we only have time for two diva feuds. Ugh, damn it. It's going to be hard not to say that word. Two women feuds at a time.
Yeah. They're very... While things have progressed, they don't run the show, and they've still got to make time for other guys, the IC title... So, yeah, it's definitely tricky to kind of have multiple feuds for the women going on.
That's why I think you should maybe get it. Like, I pointed this out to you, too. They do the brand split, separating the shows. I even think maybe you make an event or superstar just the women. Like, that hour block, it's just for the divas. Damn it, for the women.
You will have to put a quarter every time we say diva.
Yeah, it's so hard. Because how long have we said it?
Oh, it's been since we've started this podcast.
Yeah, like it's been in our vocabulary, really, for the last almost 8 years, whenever the Diva title came around.
Yeah, when they solidified it and had that be their sole title.
Yeah, yeah.
So now, speaking of the women's title, where in the world is Sasha Banks?
Sounds like SummerSlam for her.
Yeah, which I'm okay with. You know, it's sometimes people get, well, why isn't she on the show? Why isn't she on everything? She can't be right now. She's not a champion, and sometimes you gotta make room for other rivalries. And I think Natty and Charlotte are perfect feud for the women's title.
And we'll sneak into that. Let's get to TNA really quick here. We'll get back in Sasha after. So, yikes. It feels like about every 4 months, weeks, I don't know, there's always something about TNA. This one, I mean, I can't say this looks the worst because, Joel, they're like a cockroach. They somehow swerve their way out, but there's only going to be one showing now on the Wednesday on Pop TV, and wow. that screws up the West Coast view. The West Coast will have it not in prime time. It'll be about 6 o'clock West Coast time. It's going to mess up the viewing for some West Coast people. There will be a replay on the Saturday, and then even more weird, TNA is moving out of their office and into their warehouse.
That's not a good sign. And I've heard that there's some issues with money and like they're trying to, apparently I'd heard, it's just a rumor, but apparently there are rumors that they were trying to fundraise for tickets for one of their shows, for airplane tickets for talent.
I just, Dixie is the most stubborn owner. Not even Ted Turner was this stubborn. Ted Turner knew when it was done.
Yeah. I think we would see something similar with Vince McMahon as well.
Yeah.
Vince would hold on to his dying breath.
Although there's some guy, I can't remember what he is. He's a major stockholder in like an AOL or something important.
Yeah.
And he's bought up to like 35 or 40% of WWE stock lately.
Yeah, but none of them are major shares, so he can't.
No, but he wants to buy the company. And Vince has always said, like, he would sell it for the right deal. Dixie, I don't know what if he would sell it.
She's going to hold on till the very... She's going to hold on until the other owners of the big company that owns TNA is like, give it up. It's done.
Yeah, I'm surprised Panda Energy hasn't stepped in. Her dad or her mom with Panda Energy have been like, okay, it's done. We have to stop this.
Yeah. TNA is always going to be something that I feel like we'll talk about forever because it just won't go away.
Well, yeah. I mean, the funny thing is, too, Joel, is so when this happened 2 years ago and I think they left Spike and we thought it was done, and then when they had left the other one, you and I were like, oh, this talent and this talent. I don't even feel the need to do it anymore. I don't know how much talent is left the WWE would take.
Like, the only
maybe
one,
the Hardys and EC3.
EC3, I think the Hardys have proven that they're not.
Yeah, Matt needs to shut up.
Yeah, so I think that.
But the Hardys maybe for the network. That's about the only reason.
Yeah, but I could see EC3 being grabbed,
mm-hmm.
which is fine.
Like, I don't see Lashley going back there.
No.
They have Lashley. His name's Apollo Crews.
Yeah. Vince probably was confused. He thought they had Lashley
probably.
Back.
He thought he was trying to shave his head.
TNA has always been the punching bag. It's been one of the many punching bags in the world of professional wrestling, and it's a shame because I guarantee you there's a lot of people working there that generally love the business and love what they get to do.
Yeah.
It's a shame they have to move to a warehouse, but there comes a time when you're like, I'm done. I can't.
They made a deal with the Fight Network too up in Canada, where all the stuff's going to be on the Fight Network, and I think there's going to be like a lot of their logs are going to be on the Fight Network app, I believe, like a lot of the history.
Wow.
And like Video Vault stuff. And you and I have talked about reviewing like that Samoa Joe Kurt Angle cage match. Like, there's stuff that they have that people like. That's the one thing I think WWE would want. That's the show, the stuff for Joe and AJ.
Yeah. It is funny how WWE does not mention TNA.
It's bizarre because they're no threat.
I wonder what they had to do to cheese off Vince McMahon, because this is almost the equivalent of his hatred for Ted Turner and WCW.
Maybe it was them going at them on the Monday.
It might have been going at the Monday, but I think when they started poaching certain guys,
the Kurtz, the Christians, the Dudleys,
yeah, and started some of the angles like the Voodoo Ken Mafia,
mm-hmm.
and calling certain things out, and when they tried to invade a WWE live event,
yeah, which was led by R-Truth.
Yeah, so it was definitely. They probably done a few things that rubbed Vince the wrong way.
It's so bizarre, though, because you look at companies that they talk about. Japan is their biggest rival, and they talk about Japan like it's nothing.
Yeah. Well, the one thing that makes, I think, the biggest difference between Japan and TNA is the location.
Mm-hmm.
One's several seas across, and you have to be able to speak Japanese or find a way to get the English commentators for some of their shows. TNA is still slightly an alternative.
I think ROH is more of a threat, and they talk about ROH on the website. No problem.
Yeah, and I mean, they one of the biggest things I heard was they wanted to kill ROH. That's what NXT was at one point.
And they did.
Yeah.
For the most part, I think one of the best points you put out, I want to say it was TNA angle, but the Young Bucks signed that 1 year deal.
Yeah.
And
you can thank John Pollock for pointing that out.
Yeah, thank you very much. He pointed that out. I heard it in the Nakamura.
Yeah, that's where I heard it as well.
Yeah, and it's like, geez. Because you and I were like, it's too bad the Matt Jackson and them signed that 2 year deal. We thought, for some reason, you and I had the number 2 stuck in our head.
2 or 3 is what we were
saying. Yeah, I think because that's what Meltzer originally reported.
Yeah.
But we should have known because most of these Japan deals, except for the one that Tommy Tonga and others have signed, is a 1 year deal.
Well, it's a 1 year deal with ROH for the Young Bucks.
Yeah.
Let me double check because Pollock had said it, but I just want to make sure.
It's done in December.
Oh, Josh. I think the one thing that could help is, I mean, you look at all their buddies are there now, more and more, and I think their buddies are being positioned very well. And the Young Bucks, I think they said in the Japan show, the Invasion Attack pay-per-view that they did a couple nights ago, they said that the Young Bucks made $2,500 in merch sales.
Really?
I would you not think people would go to W if they say went to WWE? Do you think they could make that similar money?
I do. Look at AJ, look at Joe, look at Austin Aries even.
Yeah.
It, like you, we've seen that these guys have proven it. It's weird. Like the only guy that has ever made money on the indies that they'll never go there is one guy though.
And who's that one guy, Josh?
Colt Cabana.
Yeah. Who's back with ROH?
Yeah, it's like he'll never go there, ever. And I don't think he wants to, but they'll never, ever, ever sign him unless Angel. If they sign Colt Cabana, would you not be like, huh?
CM Punk?
Yeah, you'd have to pause for a second. But by the way, so we're getting to the back end, but UFC 200 stuff has been announced and still no Punk, so I think Punk isn't going to be on that card.
No, I think Punk's still a little ways away.
But let's tie a bow in this TNA thing, then we'll go to this Bucks, and then we'll get to Raw. So yeah, it's unfortunate for TNA. We'll keep you updated. You and I keep tabs on the company, I think is fair,
Yeah.
but we don't watch it.
No.
So you and I did find it very interesting that McIntyre wasn't involved, though.
Yeah.
So I don't know exactly how that works.
Yeah. It's gonna be interesting. Young Bucks is 1 year.
Wow, so down in December. Huh, interesting. They are someone that needs to go through the performance center, though, in my opinion.
Yeah, the one thing that with the Bucks, I think that they're smart. I think they could adapt fairly easy. I think they would want the main roster more so.
Yeah.
Which, I think if they did what a few guys will talk about in a little bit here, did the little pit stop in the performance center and then came up, I don't think it'd be too much of an issue,
No.
especially if. Because by the end of 2016, the full Bullet Club, Bullet Club, Bulletproof Bullet Club, whatever we're going to call it.
So WWE has used Bullet Club. They're very smart about it. They use Bullet Club in the hashtags, the show tweets and everything. They show it, but they never say it.
Yeah.
It's really ingenious what they've done. They've never said the Bullet Club, but they've promoted it as such. It's really weird. Because you can tell, you and I have had this talk of them trying to go over the trademark, and I found it interesting that the Bucks and Kenny Omega, they have became the elite.
Yeah, they've kind of changed what they're kind of being called.
Like, there's really no like what who's still with the Bullet Club, like Cody Hall and like Tommy Tonga.
Yeah, I didn't even really see Tonga. It's really it is really right now the current members of the Bullet Club. Oh, what I want to get an official list. The current members is Bad Luck Fale, but
Yeah.
he's really kind of gone off and done his own thing. Cody Hall.
Who took a nasty fool?
Oh, I saw that, and you just saw Young Buck land on him. You're like, oh, that's
He's
brutal.
okay though, right?
Yeah, he's okay. No concussion, no damage, so
Yeah.
that's good. Kenny Omega is a leader. The Bucks, Tonga, Tanga, Roa, and Takahashi.
Takahashi, yeah.
Yeah. So they're all members, but you look at the former members, AJ Styles, Doc Gallows, Karl Anderson, Prince Devitt. It's if
Those are the big guys in two, in my opinion. The next biggest to me was the Bucks.
Yeah. If WWE has their own version of the Bullet Club with Styles, Devitt, Anderson, Gallows, and the Bucks, if it's a six-man group that's running around causing trouble, then it's going to be very hard to take a look at New Japan's version and go, oh yeah, that's the Bullet Club. It'll be like, no, WWE has the Bullet Club.
Are the Young Bucks the biggest free agent for the company, or is that Jay Lethal? Or is it Zack Sabre Jr.?
You know what? In merchandise sales and just generate a really big buzz, it's the Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, anywhere the Bucks go, the first thing you think of is Super Kick Party.
Mm-hmm. Meltzer Driver.
Yeah, Meltzer Driver. Just their overall, just what they do, what they bring to the ring. Because, you know, at times they are part of Spotfest, but at other times they're phenomenal
talent. They're Hardy's 2.0 for the company, man.
Yeah. And, I mean, the bump that Cody Hall took, it just kind of was, it was a basically Jeff Hardy spot all over again.
Mm-hmm.
And even the Bucks did the Jeff Hardy thing when he jumped off. So you're absolutely right there. The Hardys 2.0, I think they have cleaner living. And I mean, one of their best friends is Kevin Owens.
Yeah, they're friends with Kevin Owens. I think they're friends with Bayley. They're friends with Xavier Woods. They're friends with AJ Styles. They're friends with Finn Balor. So, you know, it's this indie revolution in the company, really.
Yeah. Now, my question to you is, do you think, like, they would come if Finn was like, yeah, you guys can come over here and we can do our schnick here and you can make a lot of money?
I think it's just the next evolution for them, period. I think the same thing goes for Jay Lethal. I think it's just, it's their time.
You think the Colt Cabana thing is to drop the title?
What happened with Colt Cabana?
Because Colt Cabana came out and challenged Jay Lethal for the ROH World Heavyweight Championship.
Huh. Didn't know that.
So could Colt be the one that they drop the strap to? And then Jay goes off.
Yeah, I guess that's the biggest moment Cole will ever have in his career.
Yeah. I think it'd be a huge moment.
I mean, Joel, what's happening in about a month and a half?
Ooh, that is right.
What division would Jay Lethal technically be in?
He would be cruiserweight.
Yes, he would.
Who Ricochet is not a part of. He is part of the...
Yeah, we're going to get this in the back end, but I guess we can get all this stuff on the front end. It's a different era, people. The WWE isn't taking front all the time now.
Yeah. Ricochet has been announced for the Super Juniors. And the Super Juniors for Japan looks phenomenal, so that's going to definitely be worth checking out and watching.
Yeah. So the Ricochet thing, though, with the WWE is a little weird, though.
Yeah.
And it all has to go with Lucha Underground. So first, before we get to how weird the Ricochet thing is, it's very complicated. Let's go to the MVP thing, and then we'll bleed into the Ricochet thing. MVP got fired for doing a podcast.
On MLW, was it?
Yeah, and it wasn't even what MVP said. It's what one of the performers said. I don't know what performer. I can't remember what performer it is. But nonetheless, he had barely been with the company and was fired for breaking the code of conduct or something.
Very weird. Lucha Underground's a very interesting place.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting. It's a shame. I mean, I think, you know, like, we go with the Titus O'Neil incident.
Mm-hmm.
Where Vince wanted to fire him, and they talked him out of it. I think MVP, if someone was there, talked them out of the firing and been like, we'll punish you. And don't do that again, but we're not going to fire you.
And I've heard with MVP, like, he burnt his bridges at TNA. ROH isn't interested in him, and WWE's not really interested right now either.
I guess it would probably be Japan or...
I heard Japan's not interested in him either.
England?
I'm sure.
You could probably go over there for a little bit, let things go.
They're going to lose one of their biggest stars. Yeah. And the Will Ospreay is, I think, pretty much Japan bound now.
Yeah, he had a phenomenal match.
I heard it was one of the match of the year. I'm looking forward to watching it.
It was very, very good. And that Will Ospreay, he came out of nowhere. We knew about him WrestleMania weekend.
Is he now, with Will, is he signed with Japan at all?
I don't know. There were talks that
could they get him for the tournament? Title,
then we'd be a little bit more like, yeah, he's probably with the company. But he didn't win the title, so there's still... But he talks about it a lot, so...
Could WWE get him for the tournament?
I've heard he's part of the Super Juniors.
So is Ricochet, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, God, they can have the match all over again in New Japan.
So, as far as Ricochet goes, so he lost the title on Sunday, And the thought was, when him and Evan Bourne lost, that Matt Sydal, whatever you want to call him, when they lost, that that meant the Ricochet was going to the WWE. Right, Joel? Well, kinda. But it has to do with Lucha Underground again. Yeah, and apparently he can't go to another promotion until his last performance in 6 months after that. And the theme of ROH, not ROH, theme of Lucha that he's on may not air till January.
Yeah, so he might not be there till 2017. So,
and that's not the WWE, that's Lucha's rule.
Yeah, I think what's going to happen is we'll see him in 2017. I see him doing a lot of indie stuff. I see him doing some Japan stuff still here and there, the juniors, which is okay. I mean, but he's a guy WWE has to grab as soon as humanly possible.
I wonder if there's something they can do with Lucha. They say, like, we'll give you this guy or something.
Work out some sort of little deal or something.
Maybe they say, like, oh, we'll give you El Sombre for something. I don't know.
Maybe work out I won't give up La Sombre.
No, probably not. Who's debuting next week?
Yeah. Is he No Way Jose?
Yeah.
Because I thought he was wrestling under, I think you might be wrong.
Am I?
Well, let me check. Who is it? No Way Jose. I want to know, because, he is Manny Garcia.
No Way Jose is?
He is not... He is not La Sombra.
Okay, so then who's... So La Sombra's still training, then.
La Sombra actually worked a match with Shinsuke Nakamura and got busted open and needed four staples. But he is currently working the NXT house shows, and he's going by the name Manny Andrea?
Okay, so then,
which is his real name.
So No Way Jose is Manny Ramirez.
Yeah.
Who I don't think many of us have ever heard.
Yeah. So it's a different guy, which is good.
They can't name him Manny Ramirez, though, because everyone just thinks of the baseball player.
Yeah.
For the Red Sox, like, you're going to think about him right away. If you're a sports fan, you're going to think Manny Ramirez. It's like, you can't, it'd be the same almost parallel. It's like, here's a new guy, Tom Brady.
Well, no, because the La Sombra is called Manny Andrea.
No, I'm saying that the Jose guy, though.
Oh, No Way Jose, actually, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I get why they called him Jose, because you can't call him Manny Ramirez.
Yeah.
These people are like, oh, the guy from the Red Sox?
Yeah, he is. Yeah, Manny Garcia, yeah.
So what we were talking about here.
We were talking about Ricochet.
Ricochet, yeah. Like, you and I hadn't really got a sense to the craziness of WrestleMania. Him, Will Ospreay, obviously Zack Sabre is awesome.
Yep.
But Ricochet and Will Ospreay are the two that really stood out to me.
Yeah. I think for me it goes Zack Sabre Jr., Ricochet, and then Ospreay. But all three are talents that WWE needs to just take and coddle and bring into NXT.
Well, Zack Sabre's pretty much a WWE guy at this point, as far as I'm concerned.
I don't know. Like, the biggest thing I think...
He's in their clamp, though. That's the important thing. He's under their thumb to some degree.
Yeah, and I think there's the global cruiserweight, I think, is definitely going to help put him in a bigger spot. The minute they start selling his merch on WWEshop.com for if they have merch for this tournament, then... And I think that could be something that WWE offers for these guys that starts bringing some other talent in for next year's. Because then you know you have the prestigious, the Super Juniors, you've got a few other little tournaments. But if you're offering merchandise and say certain guys come in and make a lot of money off working this club cruiserweight, then I think a lot more guys will be willing to sign the dotted line.
For sure. All right, I think we've gotten all the little stuff underneath. There's a few little stuffs in the back end, but let's just get into Monday Night Raw, Joel. It's been long enough. Let's go to the women right away.
Oh, I missed the whole show.
Yeah.
I get to watch it live.
So let's talk about the two women feuds really quickly here. Natty and Charlotte continue to have just kick-ass matches.
Oh, yeah. And I think it's a testament to Natty.
Yeah, So you and I talked about this is why I wanted to come back to Sasha. So we had talked about, you know, Sasha for SummerSlam. I think they should give the title to Natty.
Yeah, and that's the one thing that I was sitting there kind of thinking. I was like, they could probably put the title on her and I'd be okay with it.
Yeah, like, I think it's the moment, right? I think she's never beat Charlotte, and that's the story they haven't told yet. She's never been able to beat Charlotte. Yeah. She never beat her NXT. She didn't beat her Roadblock. She didn't beat her Raw. Natty cannot beat Charlotte. And I think the moment is her and her uncle that just got over cancer holding up the women's title.
Oh, God. You want to have a feel-good moment.
That's the moment. It doesn't matter if Natty drops the title the next day. We've seen that happen with Zack Ryder.
Yeah. Woo, you know it.
It's all about moments in the WWE, right? Like, Zack Ryder lost that title and it sucked in 24 hours, but I'm always going to remember that moment. And I think that's they can't really have many moments with Bret aside from that. But if Bret's in the ring and they do the thing again with Flair and Bret, because you and I, as soon as this happened, we're like, they're doing that in the main roster one day.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's the case. I think this is leading to Bret coming out and being with Natty in her corner.
Yeah. Which is perfectly okay.
And by the way, the Dr. Phil segment, not terrible.
Good use of Flair.
Like, you and I, you know, Joel had to work and he missed Raw, but I'm like, well, at least you don't. We had thought that Dr. Phil was going to be something with Shane and Vince and some terrible McMahon segment, and he was used really good. In fact, he was one of the better Raw guests of all time.
Yeah. WWE Hall of Famer?
Probably. I mean, I even thought the spot with him in Golden Truth was pretty funny.
Yeah. They used him smart, and then, you know, what better than Ric Flair and Dr. Phil in the same room?
And that's when I was like, holy shit, they even got Dr. Phil right. Who is writing this Raw?
I think that was the biggest question that we all want answered. Who wrote this? Who booked it? Who set it up?
Because if Dr. Phil was good, then someone... It wasn't the usual suspects.
It was Kevin Dunn.
If it was, then wow, he earned his paycheck for once.
Yeah.
I thought that yeah, and then I that wasn't on Raw as much, but I really liked what they've done with Emma and Becky.
Yeah.
I think that's a nice little under feud. Like we said, there's only room for about two women's feuds. But I like the Becky and Emma dynamic, and I like Emma being like, I like what she did with Paige. I didn't like Paige losing, but I like the idea of, like, I was underlooked, and then people like Becky and Charlotte got the rise to the roster, but I'm here, I'm different, and I'm going to kick ass. I love that idea for Emma.
Yeah, and here's the other thing. They really like Becky, and
yeah.
She's earned it. She's totally earned where she is in the company, and, you know, this is both feuds are not over a man, they're not nope. over clothing, they're not over looks, they're over talent.
Mm-hmm.
And one has a creepy grandpa.
Yeah, in the niche.
Woo!
So, what are we going to next, Joel?
Well, I think it's Kevin Owens and Shane McMahon would be next.
Yeah, did it not have some flashbacks of Jim Cornette and Kevin Steen?
Yep.
I think a lot of people did, and I'm like, oh, that's the direction they're going, and that's going to be great.
Yeah. So does Shane take a pop-up powerbomb?
Yeah.
Oh, God. This is a feud that I don't care that neither of them would win a title, but Sammy and KO going back and forth for the next 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, I can't wait. And it seems to be, so far, so good.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the one thing with Sammy out of all this, too, is I think he is destined for Money in the Bank.
He, like you said it best, Daniel Bryan.
He's down. It's the looks he has. The look he had after losing to Nakamura. The look he had with AJ. It's the sympathetic guy that he's just so close. He almost beat John Cena. He almost beat Nakamura. By the way, one thing I really liked when I watch back the Nakamura thing, and I have to give some credit to John Pollock from the Fight Network pointing this out as well in their Nakamura recap. It's the same thing that Kevin Steen did in the Nakamura match. He kind of looked at Nakamura and be like, so what? Who you are? I'm Sami Zayn. I don't care who you are. He's so good at his facials.
Oh, yeah.
And even after that AJ thing, he just looks at AJ like, I will beat you. And just the look with AJ in the back, and AJ's like sympathetic, and AJ's like shaking his hand, but there's a little bit of heel tendency in Sammy. And yeah. A little bit of like, yeah, I'll shake your hand and everything, but this is bullshit that I lost.
Sammy is that guy that, like, he has had a fantastic time since he's come back. He's had great matches with a lot of guys he's worked with. The match with him and AJ was fantastic. Him and Nakamura was 5 stars. Yeah. Sammy's on a roll right now, and I guarantee you, him and KO, oh, they're going to tear the roof off.
Him and Jericho, I haven't seen it yet, but I heard they had a really good match at SmackDown as well.
Sammy's the guy to work with right now.
The WWE is so crazy right now, Joel. You and I have said this often. We will take this era over the Attitude Era any day of the week.
This is better wrestling.
And this is still like, I think by the time guys like Zack Sabre, Ricochet, and Will Ospreay and Jay Lethal sign with this company, those guys will be senior veterans on this roster.
And that's crazy to think.
The days of like the Canes and the Big Shows, they'll be around because you have Big Cass and you have the Baron Corbin. So those guys will be around, but even those guys are better wrestlers now.
Yeah. You're seeing the progression of talent, and you're seeing the progression of, like, I feel like there's a resurgence of ring psychology again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that's been sorely missed. And the more you bring that in, the more storytelling you get from wrestling matches, the better off we all are.
Yeah, it's just so much excitement, and wins and losses I still would like to matter more, Joel.
Yeah.
But Kevin Owens lost, it made sense. He had a well-fought match, and then he blamed everybody for it. Yeah, Cesaro too.
Like, just, it, like you said, everything's making sense. And it's just, whoever was booking the show had like a little puzzle piece and started building it. Was like, oh, this actually all fits and works and building towards payback. Yay!
Like, most of the time when I watch Raw, I wait about an hour and a half, 2 hours, and I just fast forward some stuff. Normally, there's matches you'd be like, oh, well, Kane is facing Luke Harper. Not going to watch it. It's so hard to fast forward through Raw lately. And even SmackDown is like, oh, no. Chris Jericho's facing Sami Zayn. Kevin Owens is facing Cesaro. AJ's facing Sami Zayn. Like, And you can't be like, yeah, I'll just pass this up. It's hard because there's just such good matches.
Yeah. And as much as, and you know what? I really wonder if they did really crappy booking leading into WrestleMania. So when they had the on-screen character of Shane McMahon, it was like this. And wrestling fans are like, this is awesome. Do you think they did it on purpose, Josh?
Maybe. It's crazy too, because like we talk about guys like Will Ospreay and Zack Sabre and Jay Lethal, maybe one day being in the company. Yeah, by the way, Austin Aries, Samoa Joe, and Finn Balor are in NXT. They're coming someday too. Well, at least the latter two. I don't know about Austin Aries yet.
They're going to be on the main roster, and then suddenly you're going to be like, oh my god, Samoa Joe could face John Cena.
Lesnar, that's the one I want. I want Samoa Joe versus Brock. That's my dream match. Yep. Like, that's like last year I had that Kevin Owens versus Cena. Samoa Joe versus Brock Lesnar is my dream match for SummerSlam.
I don't think it'll happen.
For Mania, then.
Maybe. I think Joe's the perfect opponent for him.
Mm-hmm. That's one of those dream matches you never thought you could see, and it's like, oh my god, can I actually see Samoa Joe versus Brock Lesnar?
You know what's going to happen? Thinking about it, just a little fantasy booking, if you don't mind.
Yeah, of course.
Is they'll have the nice, hard-working Finn Balor versus Brock Lesnar, and then we get the full 6 Bullet Club members. So Anderson, Gallows, AJ, and the Bucks all come out and attack Brock Lesnar, and that's the one that finally gets the pinfall over Brock, because then you put over the heel stable, and then you have this monster of a heel stable. And it's kind of like Nexus, but you book it right.
Yeah.
You finally find that baby face like a Sammy.
My only thing is, I don't think that AJ and Finn will be in together. I think it'll be one or the other.
Yeah. It's going to be very hard because both can be perceived as alpha personalities. So mm-hmm.
I think that could even be a part of the feud is you have them together, but it's kind of a better version of what they wanted to do with the Nexus with Punk and Barrett.
Yeah.
where you have the two alphas, and they botched what they could have. They botched a lot of stuff with the Nexus. But you could have done something with Wade versus Punk that could have been a lot better.
Yeah. And I think something like there's the one thing that I think out of all of this is there's so much potential and there's a lot of talent. And if Monday Night Raw from this week is it any indication, and SmackDown for the last little bit has been getting progressively better.
Mm-hmm.
If this is any hint at where things are going, I'm feeling pretty confident.
Can I talk about one of my favorite segments now?
Yep.
The Miz and Maurice segment was awesome. Domestic! But do we look like farmers? That segment was amazing.
It's perfect, because then you have Maurice, who can wrestle.
But she can talk.
Yep. So she could eventually win the Women's Championship, and then Miz could win the WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
I've been bugging you about Maurice and everything, but I think like what Maurice did, when she did that domestic part, when the Miz drank the water, that was a really, really funny segment. And that's the one I'm just going to remember. They did such a good job of making... Miz has done a good job of portraying himself as this douche Hollywood actor. But adding Maurice to this all with the cucumbers on the eyes and the farmers drinking water, it was so good. And then I saw why Cesaro hasn't been pushed, because he really sucks at talking. He came in that segment, and he after what Maurice and Miz had done, it was day and night with him and Cesaro, and it's like, shit. That's why.
I think Cesaro can get past it.
Because yeah, I think so too.
The one thing that you kind of see from him now is, like, he's now the Swiss Superman. I'm sure the tearing of the suit's going to get old very quick, and I don't know how much money he keep throwing on suits that are tearaways.
Yeah, it's a little weird. He kind of looks like Jason Statham, like he's a security guard.
Yeah. But he does that tearaway. He's a Swiss Superman. And he's just very charismatic when he's outside in that ring, when he's doing stuff. So I'm not worried about Cesaro. But you are right about his talking.
Yeah. Like, he came in, and it's just like, ugh. But, like, he does a lot of, like, doing the soccer slide when he won and everything. All those moments are terrific. It's just the talking is a little off, and I could get where Vince is coming from on that.
Yeah.
His talking's very weak, especially against a really good talker like Miz and Maurice.
I think that's the point where you do like what you did with Bryan. You have Cesaro feud with the Miz.
Yeah.
And that helps kind of teach Cesaro in a way a little bit and help add to his game. Because if Cesaro can talk, then Vince has his next star. Vince will be so happy because he has the look Vince wants. He has the in-ring work that we want. And if he learns how to talk, then everyone's happy, and you have your next WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
I also think with Miz and Maurice, too, like, we haven't had, like, that annoying couple, other than, like, Hunter and Steph, but, like, in a wrestling, like, cause they only wrestle, like, once in a while, especially Steph doesn't readily wrestle, and I love that dynamic with Miz and Maurice, and I could see them both having two titles at the same time at one point.
Yeah. Oh, totally. And just adds to their schnick.
I always liked Maurice when she was there, but it would really hit me how awesome, and the French accent just kind of, you know, it rails up anybody, that French accent, right?
Yeah.
I thought that it's just such a perfect combination, and it's just a perfect pure heel, which we need. Like, it's a heel you love to hate. Like, I love to hate the Miz.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And you and I had talked about, like, again, it was when we were talking about guys that maybe should be cut soon. Kind of like when we had that New Day talk with all those guys a few years ago. And I think there was a talk about 6 months ago, like, where's the Miz? Where is the Miz?
Yeah.
I don't think there's a spot for him in this roster anymore. And I'm really happy because that guy busts his ass. And I'm really happy the Miz has a spot on this roster. And, like, he's fine. He's not at the level of a Sammy or an AJ or KO. But you need still guys like the Miz on this roster.
I'd love to see a heel Miz feuding with a Kevin Owens.
Oh.
Because both can talk.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, 100%.
And I think the Miz helps. Like, Miz, you're going to enjoy when Cesaro finally gets his hands on the Miz.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be fun. The one thing I would do with Cesaro, because you feel pretty confident that he'll eventually win the Intercontinental title.
Yeah, a lot of people think he's going to win the next pay-per-view, and I do not think so at all. I think it's going to be a build-up, because I think obviously Maurice is going to screw it. I do feel bad for Zach. I don't know where he goes into this. Or is Zach done? But they're still mentioning Zach, so I don't know what they're doing with Zach.
Yeah. I think that what I would do when Cesaro gets the titles, I'd bring back the open challenge. Because it's so much fun.
Well, that depends. What happened to Kalisto?
I think he might be hurt. I'd heard some rumors of an injury with Kalisto.
Because he was, you know, it wasn't like a layout situation where they laid him out and it was like that. You got back from commercial and he was already laid out.
Yeah. I heard botch, I heard injury, and I heard legit injury. So I haven't heard anything more on Kalisto's situation, but that's something definitely keep an eye on.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I wonder, like, it's the U.S. title's open. I wonder if you just throw that to a Zack Ryder?
Yeah.
Because what does that hurt then? And you have the IC title there, and then maybe you can get someone going with the IC title, or maybe put the IC title on a KO or Sammy and let them run with that.
Yeah. I think there's a few different spots they can go. I think Cesaro's going to get the Intercontinental title for sure.
For sure.
The U.S. title is very interesting. You could, honestly, if you told me today that John Cena was going to win the U.S. title and he's going to run with it for a little bit again and do the open again, I'd be like, okay, let's have it. Because then there'd be a part of me like, so when does Nakamura come out?
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. I think, too, I'm going to backtrack. I actually think Sammy and KO don't need a title at all. They're fine just doing what they do with the two of them.
Yeah. The Miz and Cesaro have a direction. It's mm-hmm. very nice. Kalisto, if he's not injured, he needs to be taken out of tag team and he needs to be put in a program.
Well, I wonder if it's him and I wonder if the idea was him and Sin Cara.
Yeah.
And then eventually write off Sin Cara and then start something else with Kalisto. Because I think there's money in Kalisto and I like him as a performer quite a bit.
Yeah, I do too. I think Kalisto could have a nice program with Neville when he comes back. Cause he's still, he's still maybe 2 months away.
Let's say Kalisto is healthy. Who would you? Is there anyone on the roster you could think at the top of your head you'd like to see him go for the U.S. title? Or everything kind of seems pretty booked up.
Yeah, everything's kind of booked up right now. I think Kalisto could have a good match with KO. I think you could have a good program with Sammy. I think you could have good program with The Miz.
There's not even really any major heel that could go after him, because I would even say, like, okay, we'll have Bubba go after him, but it seems like they're doomed to do something with Enzo and Cass.
Yeah, I think you need to start elevating some mid-card heels here a little bit. Miz is a good start.
Yeah.
I think you need another one, because some of your heels are tied up. I think I have heard the League of Nations is Dunzo sooner rather than later, so you now have Del Rio and Rusev and Sheamus, all three. You could do Sheamus and Kalisto. It would be okay, but I think the biggest one is Rusev.
Yeah. You pointed out, those are the guys that need to be going for that U.S. title. I think they'll do this Wyatt thing, and then it'll be done with.
But now the Wyatt thing is in serious jeopardy, because now they're down to two members, and the two members we don't really like.
Okay, so what happened to Bray then?
Bray was working a match against Roman and Milan.
Oh, shocker!
And they were brawling, and then the ref split them up, and Bray went to take a few steps back in the corner, and he slipped, and it was almost, the match was done at that point. They called it a no contest, and they had to help Bray to the back. I have heard calf injury. I haven't heard anything more as of a couple days. It's definitely not a Seth Rollins situation where it's bad.
But it's bad timing, because like this guy was starting to get that face push.
Yeah, and that's the one thing that I thought of. I was like, God, the Wyatts have terrible timing.
They do.
I feel really bad, because you could see that the crowd was getting behind Bray. And I think there's a lot of money in a face Bray Wyatt.
It was weird, though, Joel. Like, what were they doing with that, with him and Roman?
That was the only thing from Monday Night Raw that I was a little like, what's going on here? This seems a little odd.
Like, but it was like trying to get a rub under Roman. And by the way, that Roman line was really good. But now it's getting really annoying.
Maybe that's what it's supposed to do.
I guess, but I think it's something that, like, I guess you're getting the point. They're getting the point over. I get that, but I don't know, man.
Well, they sat there and like, oh my God, that's a good line. Roman delivers it really well.
It's a great line.
Let's just have him say it every week.
Apparently. What did you think about Roman this week? No problems, really.
No problems, but, you know, it is definitely he is going to get booed in Chicago.
Good. I think he's perfect. I think he should be the guy right now. I have no problems with everything. I obviously prefer AJ to beat him.
Yeah, not going to happen.
But I thought AJ had another just stupidly good week.
Yep.
Like, the match with Sammy was just great. It's funny what happens when he doesn't face Jericho. They're just not good together. It's weird. It was a dream match, but it just didn't work very well.
No. And we can move on, and we can enjoy Dean Ambrose and the Ambrose Asylum.
That was a pretty funny segment.
I think the two of them are going to work well together.
So. I do too, yeah. I thought that was really good. It's weird, though, Joe. Like, you lose at WrestleMania, and you get a bonus. Everyone that lost WrestleMania is feeling great. Shane, doing great. I get to run the company. AJ, I get to be the number one contender. Bray, I get to be a babyface. Zach, like, The Miz, I get to be Intercontinental Champion. Everybody that lost has had a pretty good time in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. It's really funny how things kind of play out. But, I mean, I think, you know, a lot of things are moving in a forward direction, and I approve with what they're doing. With how they booked WrestleMania? But, you know, we're getting certain things that we're happy we're getting, so at this point, I'm going to shut up and take it.
So, let's talk about shooting. The Bullet Club is in the WWE.
The one thing I want to say is, I myself sat there and was thinking, yeah, they attacked Usos. Wait a minute. They attacked the Usos. They attacked the Usos, who are cousins with Roman Reigns. And do I think it's going to happen? No. But do I think it's a possibility? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It would be crazy to take it right off the table. But I don't see the Bullet Club working with Styles. I see the Bullet Club working with another fellow.
Yeah. Prince.
A Prince will be coming soon.
I wonder, like, I mean, sure, I think the Uso thing, I could be red herring. I'm not going to buy into it. I mean, last week there was all that talk. You and I had kind of missed that talk of the Shield versus the Bullet Club. There was a big wave of that online for a bit, which would be phenomenal, no pun intended. But, yeah, I don't, I mean, down the road, sure, I think both you and I think the Shield is getting back together. There's too much money not to.
Oh, yeah.
But having said that, I don't think it's happening anytime soon, and I don't think you're going to put Roman into any of these type of tag matches.
No, Roman needs to stand on his own for a little bit, and, I mean, the one thing that I will take from the Bullet Club attack is it was very outsider-like, which I'm okay with.
You pointed that out to me, and at first I was kind of mad because, I'm not going to lie, I fast-forwarded through that match. Why would I want to watch the Usos versus Social Outcasts? And I think that's the point. Because they knew if people were watching this in DVR, they're like, oh, people aren't even going to expect this. People are going to go for a bathroom break. They're going to do what they are. I mean, if you were watching this live, Joe, that's probably something you would have gone for a bathroom break on.
Oh, yeah.
So when I saw them, I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. And I was almost mad, but it's like, why would I watch the end of the Social Outcasts and the Usos? The Usos are obviously winning.
Yeah.
And so when I saw them, I'm like, oh, shit. It was also very interesting they called him Luke Gallows, not Doc Gallows.
I'm not surprised. That's the name that they kind of have him go as, so.
Yeah.
It's Luke. We're going to have to get used to that now again.
It'll be weird to see if they show any footage they show of Gallows.
Well, they got to be very careful because there's a certain little guy that's featured in a lot of footage.
Yeah, like, obviously they won't show anything to Festus with him.
No.
But, you know, a lot of that, what was the punk group called? The Social Society or whatever?
Straight Edge Society.
Straight Edge Society. A lot of those things were tags with Punk. He never did many single matches, Gallows.
He did it, little things here and there, but I can see them not showing a lot. I just want to speak of how far Luke Gallows has come from the Festus character all the way to being considered one of the hottest free agents in sports entertainment.
He went to TNA and did the whole biker game thing, and then he found himself in Japan, and he found himself way back. Did you ever think you see Gallows back in the company?
No, not until the Bullet Club did I sit there and think, oh, maybe. But before, I was like, nah, he's done. But now, it's like, holy crap, he's come a long way. I think there's more money in Carl Anderson. And it's funny, they called him Machine Gun.
Yep.
I was a little surprised, but, I mean, if Roman Reigns can have a move called Drive-By.
I loved how JBL was like, my sources told me this, Michael! It's like, okay, your sources.
Oh, JBL.
JBL's the one that's been telling everything to Meltzer all along.
Could you imagine if that's actually Meltzer's sword?
That'd be great.
Him and Michael Cole have been leaking stuff.
I thought, you know, at first I was kind of, I think it was just because the segments, like the two teams are so underwhelming.
Yeah.
The Usos and the Social Outcasts. It took me a while to think about it, but when you pointed out the outsiders and I watched the back, I'm like, yeah, it does feel like the, and I think also we built it up that he's attacking Roman Reigns or they're coming in the main event. So I think once you got past that as well, I had to get past all those kind of things.
Yeah.
Once you get past those, you're like, yeah, it was a good debut.
Yeah. And they came in, they had a good impact, and I mean the talks of the Young Bucks in 6 months, potentially. I mean, we could actually have the full-fledged Bullet Club in
so
WWE.
If they attack Dean Ambrose, then I will agree that something is up.
Yeah.
Because then it'll be very interesting. Then you will start questioning if they're going to come out during the main event to help AJ.
Yeah. If they attack Dean next, like say if they're working Monday and it said that they attack Dean Ambrose, then I think a lot of people are going to get bit. Could you imagine if they put the title on AJ at Payback?
Oh my God.
I don't think the internet can contain it. It's in Chicago too, Joel. I don't think the internet could contain itself.
No.
I think it would collapse on itself.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd be like, but the weird thing would be a lot of people wouldn't be able to complain.
No.
They'd be rocking back and forth going, I can't sit there and complain.
Well, it's even funny, like, you look at, like, segments like WTF Moments on What Culture, and even they're like, damn it, we can't find anything super wrong with this show.
It was very hard. I love what they did with the New Day, the tournament, yeah. And the graphic.
Yeah,
you jump,
the booty-o's falling down.
Yeah, you just follow the rainbow to the pot
of
gold.
Who do you think wins the tournament, by the way?
Well, it's got to be a heel.
Does it, though?
I don't think it's Enzo and Cass, because they're going to be working...
The Dudleys?
Dudleys.
I think it may be the Vaudevillains.
Yeah. And I'm perfectly okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I like how the New Day was treating this like it was an important thing. Like, this tournament's going to be something, and we're going to see who the next number one contender is. It felt like it was... And it gives us matches now week to week leading to Payback.
That's the thing. There's so many nice matches and feuds, and you kind of have directions of everything. It's so crazy. WWE does things like this. It's like, I see where things are going.
Yeah. And at the same time, you don't know because you're still kind of like, I don't know who's going to win this tournament. I don't know if the Bullet Club's going to attack and put the title on AJ Styles.
No.
I don't know what's going to happen.
But we have an idea what's going on at Payback. We know Miz and Cesaro. We know AJ and Reigns. We're assuming Dean and Jericho.
Sammy and KO.
Becky and Emma. Charlotte and Natty. Like, we have these programs ready to go.
And it's going to be a hot Chicago crowd, too.
The main question still remain is what happens with Shane. I think they need to come out with a better excuse next week because the overwhelming social media outburst was a little weak. That's probably the worst part for me is the Shane stuff.
Yeah.
There's really no reason for it. So they need to do something to like get. I think Stephanie and Hunter need to come back this week on Raw. I think it's time for them to come back and start stirring the pot with Shane.
Yeah, it needs to be kind of some back and forth where Vince is kind of like, well, we'll see which one of you, we'll see how the authority does tonight.
Yeah.
And then it's this kind of this back and forth where we see what kind of happens. And honestly, behind the scenes, I would give a little bit more creative control to both Shane and Hunter because this is very much a real life thing going on right now between Shane, Hunter, and Vince.
I think a show like this Raw can spread the word, right? Like if you and I as wrestling fans want to go to our non-wrestling fans that tune in just like for our friend Paul, for example, who just watches the pay-per-views, I think these are reasons to tell them to watch Raw. It's shows like this.
Yeah.
If shows continue to be like this and there's great matches, there's still funny stuff in there, I think that'll work. By the way, I can see Golden Truth winning the tournament, by the way, too.
Yeah. That would be interesting. I could also see another instance. I could see that the Usos can't compete.
Yep.
And the Bullet Club slots themselves into the tournament.
Could be that as well, yeah.
That's another pot. And the nice thing is you and me get to speculate. We get to sit here and go, I don't have a clue what's coming next, but we'll certainly sit here and watch and find out.
Anything we missed?
We hit on Bray's injury.
Cena's injury.
Cena's still...
He was 100% during WrestleMania week, and now he's not.
Yeah, it's an interesting, weird thing with Cena, where you're like, one minute you're like, Cena's back! Oh, no, he's not. I think he'll be back next month. I have heard...
Do we need Cena, though? We don't even need Cena right now.
Oh, we need Cena. Coming back, it would just be another good hand to have that... Let's face it, depending on where this AJ goes, Josh, there's two options now. If AJ wins the title because of the Bullet Club, then that means at SummerSlam we're getting AJ Styles versus John Cena for the WWE
World Heavyweight. I still think if AJ wins, Roman's winning the title back.
Yeah, because they're going to keep pushing Roman as...
Four-time champion in a year!
I don't like that number. Anyways, you have...
Could you have a triple threat between those three?
Yeah, Roman versus... Yeah, you could have triple threat as well. Mm-hmm. I think ultimately we're going to get Roman versus Cena.
I do think, like, obviously, we're marks, so it's that idea, but I do think that AJ is a champion with the Bullet Club on top, making AJ the main heel. It's hard. It's not an easy thing to do, Joel, but having the Bullet Club on top just wrecking people is the best idea overall. It's the one thing they never, like, as good as the Shield was, they never had, like, a Roman or a Seth or Dean as the champion as they dominated.
Yeah, and I think that's one thing, like, part of me wants to, like, wish that Gallows and them didn't debut until the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because then you could kind of hold off. Because ultimately, I'd want... Well, you could have it a four-man team. You can have that storyline like they were going to do in New Japan with the kind of the back and forth between Styles and Kenny.
Mm-hmm.
You could do the same thing with Finn and AJ a little bit.
Yeah.
And then eventually you bring in the Bucks. Then it's... You get that kind of... I'd like to see a full at least... year run of the Bullet Club just wrecking stuff for a solid year.
I mean, like I said, I don't think Finn and AJ will be together, but if you had brought up Finn with Anderson and Gallows, and then you have this slow Batista-like burn with AJ and Finn,
yeah,
that's another way you can go as well.
Yeah, the thumbs down.
Yeah.
And then, because you gotta think after, because The next point I wanted to talk about was obviously The Undertaker and the future of The Undertaker.
Mm-hmm.
But in a couple of years, you gotta think that Seth Rollins is gonna be a mainstay in the main event.
If he already isn't.
Yeah. You gotta think that AJ, in his time that he has, he's gonna be in the main event. And you gotta think Finn's gonna be there too. So is there a WrestleMania that you could see where it's Finn Balor versus AJ Styles?
That's what I'm talking about. I would tease that title, go to that, but I would think Seth has got to be in the title next year.
Yeah. Oh,
that definitely. It's Seth's story. Yeah. Maybe down the road, Finn and AJ. I think it's Seth's redemption next year. I think he ultimately feuds with Hunter at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
And that's why, as much as I want AJ to have that title, I think Roman's the one Seth has to beat.
Yeah. And I totally agree with you. And I think that Roman throws a monkey wrench into plants, but it's kind of a nice monkey wrench.
Yeah, because... like, I think Roman is right now, as much as you and I had bitched about it, it actually all kind of worked out. I think he's perfect where he is right now.
Yeah, he is not the face of the company.
No, but we want to root against him too, which is kind of what we had with Cena for a bit, right?
Yeah.
It's the guy that, like, I don't want him to have the title, so now they're going to throw in AJ Styles. Maybe they'll throw Cesaro, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Finn Balor. You'll throw your guys at them. You'll be like, come on, beat him. and they'll probably lose, but you still have that moment where you're rooting against this guy.
Yeah, and I think he ultimately more heel tendencies than face tendencies from him.
Yeah.
But you're absolutely right. He's exactly where you need him to be right now. I do not think in 10 years we'll be like, remember when Roman Reigns won the championship? I think we're going to more remember Roman won the championship, and then it led to this. And then it led to this, because I think there's a lot of good matchups there.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that Roman gets the Cena treatment for a little bit, where he's Superman.
Yep.
But he doesn't have no one has a kryptonite spear yet. We'll wait for that.
No one's mom's names are Martha? Maybe AJ's mom is Martha, and so is Roman's.
I saw that movie again today. For the third time.
Jeez.
Josh, I'm sorry. It's not, it's like 40.
We'll talk about it offline. I still think it's fine. The Martha stuff is stupid. I will fully admit that.
If AJ says Martha, I'm just going to walk away. I'm going to walk home, Josh.
That would be pretty great if he did.
And Roman falls to his knees and like, my mom's name is Martha too.
Do we just become best friends? Yep.
All in all, I think the state of WWE post WrestleMania is good.
Yeah.
The Bray injury sucks and the Kalisto injury sucks. But we're gonna get Seth Rollins and John Cena back, so.
Yeah, and Tyson Kidd hopefully in what, 6 months?
Hopefully.
I think we're close to it. It's almost been a year.
Yeah. And then we get the Kid and Cesaro feud.
Oh, wow. That's the underlining to all this. We keep on forgetting about Tyson Kidd, and Tyson Kidd has never faced AJ Styles.
Oh, God.
Tyson Kidd has never faced Sami Zayn. Tyson Kidd has never faced Nakamura.
Tyson Kidd is not allowed to take the Styles Clash.
No.
Nope.
Forearm, I think there's a good story in NXT, though, to tell with him and Samoa Joe.
Yeah?
I like Tyson on the main roster, but I almost wonder if you would make him attack Samoa Joe.
Ooh. I'm okay with that.
Because, I mean, that's going to be a great feud, and he takes the muscle buster, and you tease it.
Oh.
You tease the neck injury again. And you tease how scared he was.
Oh, God.
It's such a gripping, and it chills your bones even thinking about that, him like taking that again. But I think Tyson would take it again.
I'd say there's probably about a 70% chance.
So, yeah. So we talked about the main roster. Let's talk about NXT. Good NXT show. A lot of interesting talent that they showed that aren't. Some are signed with the company and some aren't. Mainly Tessa Blanchard and who is the other one?
Oh...
It wasn't Apollo.
Oh, it was Angelo Dawkins.
Really like Angelo Dawkins. I don't know if he's a main roster guy, but he's almost everything the MVP could have been.
Yeah. Well, I know why you like him, because he's got a lot of basketball and football.
He's got the double headbands going. He's got the LeBron chant going.
He's got the, what's his name? His long beard. In the NBA.
Oh, James Harden.
Yeah, he's got the stir.
Yeah, well, that's Little B. So he needs to talk to Little B about that. Or Little B's going to send a curse on him like he did to James Harden.
Oh, so Angelo Dawkins will be cursed now.
Yeah. I like him as a talent. I think he's got a lot of cool gimmicky stuff. Wrestling, he's fine.
Yeah.
Tessa Blanchard. So there's that match... wasn't anything special.
No.
But Alexa Bliss is a really good heel, and Tessa Blanchard has the talking in the ring, Joel.
Yeah.
So it's stuff that, it's psychology that you don't get from wrestlers that fast. And it's because of her daddy is, probably.
Yeah. I think there's, Tessa is a diamond in the rough that I think opens the door for Ricochet to come in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that...
Are they dating?
Yep.
Oh, right.
I think that she has the look that Vince wants,
mm-hmm.
and she can develop the in-ring skill that the IWC can get behind.
And her versus Charlotte is money!
Oh, God. And you have Tully. Tully's still alive, right?
Yeah, Tully's alive.
Okay, so then you have Tully and Flair in respective corners.
Yeah.
You just need to find someone that looks like the Andersons.
Yeah, that's the only thing. Do the Andersons have daughters? Does Barry Windham have a daughter?
I don't know.
Hard to get on that. But, yeah, Tessa Blanchard was the second most impressive thing to me on that show this week.
I don't know what the first could possibly be.
Alexa Bliss!
Yeah.
By the way, but yeah, I think we should give credit to Alexa Bliss.
Oh, yeah.
I think her in-ring has got a lot better. The end of that match was a little... I think because the crowd sucked. That was a really shitty NXT crowd.
Yeah.
Except for the Nakamura part. But I thought Alexa Bliss, she kind of has the problem that Paula Cruz has. It's a nice transitional move. It's not a great finisher.
No. And she needs to kind of find something a little more definitive.
Because once she hit those knees, weren't you kind of like, oh, nice move.
Yeah.
I don't think either one of us thought, oh, that's the finish?
Yeah.
But Alexa, I think they did a good job of switching Blake and Murphy and her. Blake and Murphy have to be coming up pretty soon, you would think. I actually would have sent them up before the Vaudevillains, to be honest.
Yeah, they would have been one that I would have probably sent up first. But yeah, I think there are another team that will eventually come up as well.
But let's talk about the highlights of NXT, the Perfect 10, Ty Dillinger.
He is fantastic. Like, he's a perfect heel for NXT.
He made his own shirt.
Yep.
I love it.
He is willing, he, and the 10 has gotten over.
Yep.
It's a chant, but someone was 11, Josh.
Oh, God, Nakamura is so good.
He just...
He can't be there much longer. He can't be there very long. It's just, it's, you see it with Joe, you see it with Finn. You don't see it as much as Austin Aries and Kenta. They're like, oh, yeah, they need a little more seasoning down here. Just as far as WWE goes. But you see when Nakamura's like, yeah, he's ready. Just send him up now. I do wonder, Way Team brought this up in that Nakamura podcast. I do wonder what he will be like if he's conduced down to 3-minute matches on Raw, though.
It's going to be very interesting because that's not... It's going to be a squash match because you're going to have to... It's going to be quick.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that as long as you... Because his match with Ty was 5 minutes.
Yeah, and I guess he did fine with that.
Yeah. So, I'm not too panicky. Nakamura is the most charismatic man in WWE.
Whew. Think John Cena and Kevin Owens would have a problem with you on that. But I see what you're saying.
I think Nakamura is the most charismatic guy in pro wrestling. The fact that the guy barely speaks English, but you know all his mannerisms.
Well, all the little things he did to Ty Dillinger, too, right?
Yeah.
Which is like the 10, and like he... I would say this. I don't know if he's the most charismatic. He reads off the crowd almost better than anybody.
Oh, yeah. He knows exactly. And just kind of look on his face of, like, when he's doing the 10 to Ty, and he's nodding his head along with him, and Ty's like, what the... And Nakamura's like, what?
I thought it was pretty funny, though. The crowd started chanting, he's 11, and I think they should have stayed with, he's 11. But they started to go, 11, and it was like they kind of got out of sync and they couldn't get the cheer down. I love that Corey Graves called them on it.
Yeah.
But again, Nakamura has another great match. And next up, Joel, the Drifter.
He's going to have a good match with the Drifter. I'm calling it right now.
Oh, God, I hate him so much. I don't know if I hate the Drifter more or Baron Corbin more, but at least Baron, I respect the evolution of his character. Can you see the Drifter on the main roster?
Oh, yeah. He's going to challenge John Cena for the win.
God!
He's going to spray paint D's nuts on his guitar and deck Cena.
Jeez.
And he's going to pull off his face mask and reveal it to be Jeff Jarrett.
Oh, jeez. Speaking of Jeff Jarrett, Global Force is a pyramid scheme. What the hell is that? What the hell was that video? That was really bizarre.
Yeah, I saw it and I was like, what am I signing up for?
Give us your money and then do this with your money. But Jeff, I'm not giving you my money. But then you can be the number one lane in Global Force Wrestling. I know Jeff Jarrett's been talking like that. That's one of my worst impressions. I will wear that. But still, what the fuck, Jarrett?
Yeah, it makes me very nervous.
Global Force has not done anything, really.
No. They wouldn't even give them TV time, so what does that say?
Yeah. I mean, they were kind of clinging on to TNA for a bit there, but nothing's really since. Like, they had guys like Shelton, and they had Gallows and Anderson, and they've never really done anything with them.
And they never did, because now they're in WWE. Most of them.
Yeah, most of them. I mean, I'd like to have Shelton. I think Shelton would be a perfect guy in NXT, like Rhino was.
Yeah.
Like, the perfect kind of... Like, there's... It sucks for Shelton, because when he was there, the best wrestler really was what? Shawn?
Yeah.
And Punk.
Yep.
And now, like, Shelton versus Sammy, Shelton versus KO, Shelton versus, like, another Jericho. Him and Jericho had some good matches, actually.
Yeah.
There's a lot of guys Shelton could go with, and it's like, I think, out of all the older generations, you know, we used to talk about that Chris Masters, Carlito MVP, Shelton class?
Yeah.
John Morrison? I gotta say, Shelton's probably the best in the company now to have there.
Oh, yeah.
Especially with, like, he being such a video game player, too. It's funny. One of the reasons he got de-pushed is because all he would do is play video games. Well, look at what they do now. Up, up, down, down and everything. And AJ Styles, all he does is play video games. Like, yeah.
I think now they look at it as it's one of those things that keeps talent out of trouble.
It's too bad Shelton's not a cruiserweight. Because that would be a nice guy for them to put into the cruiserweight division.
Oh, yeah. I think the final...
The lawsuit.
Well, yeah, the lawsuit, and then... Yeah, MMA. The lawsuit.
And then UFC?
Yeah.
Let's go the lawsuit. So Rene Dupree tried to sue the WWE for rights to his likeness with the network, but WWE put a nice little thing in the contract saying that if there was a network, no one gets the rights, and they signed that away in 06. Damn, that legal team is smart, Joel.
Vince saw the future, and you just didn't realize it.
Mm-hmm. They're trying to, and I mean, it's one of the reasons that we kind of heard that Punk never said it really on that pod, but it's one of the reasons Punk, you know, had rumored to be a little upset with the company. It's because pay-per-view pays are down. They, like, the DVDs are down. Like, for example, that Welcome to Dudleyville is coming out. It either came out this week or it's coming out.
Yeah.
And why would you get that Dudleyville thing? Because in 6 months, that DVD is going to be up there, like the Randy Savage one was, and all the and the Sting one's on the network now.
Is it?
So yeah.
Oh wow.
So why would you buy the Dudley one? You wait 6 months, and the Dudley one is up there.
Yeah. So it's definitely an interesting thing, but kudos to WWE's legal team.
Yeah.
The one last wrestling thing I want to hit on before we go UFC,
mm-hmm,
is the Demon of Death Valley.
Yeah, so he put his gloves in the ring.
Yeah, well, he left his gloves in the ring, and I was reading that he's been telling people that this was it for him. He was telling friends, he was telling a lot of people that this was it. Vince doesn't feel this way. Vince feels like, I'll give him some time, and then we'll talk to him, and he'll do some stuff for next year's WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
So
hope so, because his last match cannot be that Shane match.
No. Vince desperately wants Cena Taker.
And I think fans, we want Cena Taker.
And I think that's the best way to go out for Taker.
Yeah.
The other thing is, he was removed from all the Europe dates, mm-hmm, and now he's been back added to two, so we'll see how that goes. That could fluctuate day
to day. He was in tags originally, correct?
Yeah. And now, I don't know what he's doing, but, I mean, anytime The Undertaker's doing something, you're always interested, because it could lead somewhere. I do think next year's WrestleMania is the last.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I think that Taker has... You talk about Kobe Bryant, I think Taker's at peace with his legacy. And
I would agree with that. Like, much like Kobe last night, Kobe went out perfectly. That's the only reason with Taker that I was like, I just want him to go up perfectly, not on that Shane thing.
Yeah, and I think if he goes out against Cena, then you know what you're going to get from Cena.
Yeah.
Cena will carry the bulk of that match, but it's okay because...
But then he can still have a good match, though.
Yeah, oh yeah, they still will. And I think that Taker will go for broke, which makes me a little nervous, but it would be well worth seeing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, close the door on the WWE. Let's
UFC, open up UFC really quick. So, we thought that we were going to get the Holly Holm rematch, and Misha Tate, I don't know if she picked it, if Dana picked it, She's facing Amanda Nunes, who is not in the category of the top three.
That makes me... I think this is just a metaphorical tin can.
Yeah, like even Cyborg is out there. But I think Cyborg has a fight, though, actually, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's another one that's going to be added to the list. In a perfect world for Dana, Ronda comes back, beats Holly Holm, beats Misha Tate, gets the Cyborg fight.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I wonder where Ronda goes in this spectrum. Like, is Ronda getting the winner of this? Or does Ronda have to do the Holly Holm one first?
I think Ronda has to earn her way back, but it's definitely a messy situation. It is not as clean as what we once thought it would be.
Yeah. So, UFC 200, that looks great. I mean, we never really talked about this last week either. Conor McGregor versus Nate.
Yep.
Give it to Conor, man. He doesn't like to lose. It's an interesting fight because, I mean, at some points he was losing. He got to build his cardio up. That's the one thing I noticed in that fight. His cardio killed him.
Yeah.
Because he just kept like, going, and then Nate was like, yep, you're done.
Yeah. I think the one thing that you realize from that fight is Conor's got to hit harder.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's possible.
That's a solid point, man.
It's going to be very... It's must-see programming.
For sure it is.
It'll be very interesting. I think that whoever wins this, I think if Conor wins this, this is when GSP enters the octagon.
Yeah, because GSP isn't talking this week about coming back. So that will be very interesting. And maybe that's somewhere where you put Punk is a Conor and GSP and put that as the undercard.
Yeah.
The thing with Punk, though, it's what's going on with his back. Like, I saw him at on the Marvel YouTube channel answering questions about Drax, and he's been at a few Wizard World things and stuff. I don't know what's going on with Punk.
No.
It's the biggest question. It's like, what will happen first? Will Eva Marie win with the Women's Championship? You see it all the time. Will Eva Marie win the Women's Championship, or will CM Punk fight first?
I'd like to hedge bets towards Eva.
Yeah.
Slightly.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's weird. Like, he's been with UFC, what now, for almost a year? Two years almost now?
Yeah, it'll almost be 2 years.
It'll be 2 years in November, I believe.
Holy crap.
And, like, the guy was... I can't even remember the guy's name now. But he was set up on a silver platter for Punk. And then he decided to get the back surgery. It's weird.
Wow. It's 2 years and he hasn't had a fight? Dana can't be happy.
No. And he's getting merchandise money from some Reebok stuff. And he's been in the video game, so he's getting licensing from that.
Wow.
So, I don't know, man. Like, I think the excitement level has died down a little bit. I think once it's fully announced and it's going to happen and we have, like, UFC blah, 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 it's going to happen on.
Yeah.
You'll build it up, but I think the automatic impact of it has definitely been dethroned.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the ladies in the UFC. Ladies in the WWE.
There's one last thing I want to go out on. Mm-hmm. How amazing the Edge and Christian show is.
Oh, man.
It's the hot tag segment was hilarious. Please contact your booker.
The fact they use real TNA book names like Velvet Sky and Angelina Love and Davey Richards was interesting. I didn't know Davey Richards and Angelina Love were a couple.
Did you? No.
Yeah, I didn't know that. So that was they acknowledged for the first time in WWE programming Edge and Beth Phoenix.
Yeah,
it's never been acknowledged. That's the first time it's ever been acknowledged. They are a couple.
It's definitely one of those things where you're like, "Holy crap!"
It was, yeah. I mean, I like when they do the subtle digs. They did. I love the Brutus Beefcake thing when he's like, "I regret being partners with Hulk Hogan."
Yeah,
I just thought it was. It continues to be good over and over again. The same with Bayley and Tommy was good. It's really their key. At first, you and I were like, we thought it was like some kind of weird Adult Swim type of thing. But now it's forming into like a version of Key and Peele or Soprano Show for wrestling fans.
Yeah, and it has wrestling references all the time. Like the, what was it? The fans that got to see AJ. I thought that was cool.
That was a really cool segment. Yeah, like they lost their shit when they saw him. That was super cool.
And then when they're like, yeah, you get to keep them.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, have him come back Monday. He needs to put over Heath Slater.
Yeah.
just little things like that that you can't help but sit there and laugh.
Yeah.
Give all the credit to Edge and Christian. That show, we were like, oh, great. And now we're like, when's the new episode out? And
I know.
Even with the Paul Heyman stuff.
I think the AJ segment was what turned it. The original one?
Yeah.
Will WWE talk about it? And even before that, I was like, Joel, there's some cool stuff on here. But the AJ segment and the weather one turned it for everybody.
Yeah, because you could see it, they're taking digs at wrestling fans, but at the same time, you can see they're wrestling fans and they're taking digs at the company. Because they took a few shots at Vince.
Yep.
And they took a shot at Hunter.
And I love that, like, Edge wears pro wrestling tees. Like, his his Saxon shirts. Like, his
Hardcastle.
Saxon Hardcastle. It's a great show. I wonder if kind of WWE could rival it or not.
Well, they've got Ric Flair humping things, so...
Yeah, and they got Vince. A bra!
Like, when he... And the fact that it's Vince voicing himself.
Yeah, it's. I'm pretty excited for Camp WWE.
That's the next thing that I'm like, I'm really excited to see. Like, they've done this, I think, in a couple years. Like, you remember how Netflix grew and evolved?
Yeah.
And it got to the point where it is today. I think WWE, a few years down the road for wrestling fans, could reach that level.
It's too bad education isn't, like, it's so inside.
Yeah.
Because I like to tell more fans about, like, friends about it. Because it's kind of like that, what Chappelle's show got to for a bit there. Where it's like, oh, there's this kid in Chappelle's show and this kid in Chappelle's show. And I find Edgy Christian is like that now. Where I would send to, like, I see Key and Peele or I see Chappelle's show. I'm like, oh, you have to watch this kid from Chappelle's show. Or Saturday Night Live. But, like, some of them are just so inside that only wrestling fans are really going to get it. But still, it's really cool because as wrestling fans, we've never really had that.
Yeah, and that's the one thing that with the WWE Network, we have more of an opportunity of that.
I've always said about the network, my only problem is I like it to be more spread out. Like, I like something on a Tuesday and a Wednesday. It always seems like you get one show every Monday. You either get Drive-By, you get Camp WWE, or you get Agent Christian, or whatever it may be. I like to have different stuff every week so I can be like, oh, Wednesday is the Renee show, or, oh, it's Friday. That means another roadblock, another Drive-By is on, or whatever.
Yeah.
I'd like to have that instead of, like, every Monday, it's like, oh, it's Monday. That means that one of the shows will be on afterwards. I think they need to spread it out a little bit more. I mean, it's hard, you know. They can only have so much programming. But I like what, too, they've done the playlist. I thought the playlist idea was really cool.
Yeah. The next thing that I would do, and I think this is where we end things, is I'd have custom playlists. So you and me could sit there and build our what we would consider the greatest 10 matches of all time. And then send it to you. And then go, this is my list of top 10 matches.
Kind of like what people do with Spotify and Apple Music. Yeah, love that idea, actually. It's great, Joel.
Because then you can take matches, and then wrestling fans can... You know how on the forums they'll have these list of, these are the top 5 Dean Malenko matches? Well, you can do that now. And people can be like, well, I'll watch it. And the nice thing is with these wrestling matches, you're going to spend maybe an hour and a half watching 5 wrestling matches.
I would have that people can link to your account, though. The only thing I worry about is people like, top Benoit matches over and over again, and then it's trending on the network.
Yeah, that would make me... I wouldn't make it trending. I would make it where you'd have to actually share it.
Yeah.
Because then you run that risk of trolls and all that.
Yeah, like people pick... I love, too, they mentioned the mass transit on the Edge and Christian show.
They mention everything.
So I was like, okay then.
They're going places.
The meanest statement was the Sunny one.
Yeah.
That was super mean.
Maybe
super justified.
Yeah. Vince McMahon and Kiss My Ass Club, and they talked, well, Triple H metaphorically kissed Vince's ass.
Yeah.
It's little things like that that you can see, and I could see like a Jericho being on this show. But he has to be 2008 Chris Jericho on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be fun.
I like the Chump Stain Challenge, too. And I love that they made fun of the Canadian cliches with Kyle Edwards.
Yeah.
It was nice to see Arda do something other than... Oh, sorry. Like, Kyle Edwards. We're so used to saying Arda about Cal for Canadians. But it was so nice to see Kyle do something other than, like, this week in WWE. Like, how that guy isn't on a main program is boggling.
Yeah.
Because he's so talented.
I think there's certain spots that they can start sliding some of these guys and start bringing in. Like, I would not be surprised if a Simmons had some sort of small thing.
Yeah, he's had a lot. I mean, you saw the stuff with Draymond Green today before he went on the podcast, right?
Yeah.
WWE title over Draymond before he did the interview. And yeah, it's and they you know, they got David Shoemaker back. So the wrestling landscape and Coach is now has his own podcast. He took David Shoemaker's spot on the ESPN podcast. Now it's Peter Rosenberg and Jonathan Coachman.
Oh, wow.
So don't think the WWE won't have any influence on that podcast.
Yeah. And here's something else that could happen. Jon Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
He could do something.
Well, him and Simmons are together with HBO. I know Jon Stewart's not anything to do with The Ringer, but he's with the HBO family now, right?
Yeah.
So I'll have to watch, man. And, well, gave you a lot of stuff this week, folks. But, you know, it was about a week and a half. Everything built up. It was a great week for the product. It was a sad week outside the ring. RIP and respect to those families once again as we tail end it. And until next time, cheers.
AJ Styles is in a main event of WWE programming in 2016.
Enjoy the day, people.